The Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer is on. This offer is for 1 week only and ends at midnight on Sunday. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is the answer. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Howie. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Again, I cannot believe it's 2 o'clock. And I thought, Jared, I was making progress here with all my stories, that I was getting through the pack. And then I did a little bit of research during the break, and I have about 6 new stories I need to get to. That's okay, though. First off, I want to tell you all that the search on at Biden's Rehoboth Beach home has concluded. And they did not find, according to the DOJ, they did not find any documents. So that's one spot where no documents were found. That's just an update for you on that front. If you're just tuning in and you haven't been hearing this news, you might be saying, when did they start looking? They swarmed his Rehoboth Beach home today. I don't know how they got over the wall that he's building, but they got in there and they were searching for documents. And they did not come up with anything. Allegedly. That's what they're telling us. Okay. Now, in other news, I did tease this, Jared, and I don't think it's fair if we don't play it. You know, one of my favorite things in politics, ever since Donald Trump, I think this is when it really emerged, the fake tough guy, the surge of the fake tough guy really started off when Donald Trump was in office, because all of these guys, a lot of New York guys who knew Trump, they were so angry. They were so mad, and they wanted everybody to know that they weren't going to take it. You know, they were going to show him who's boss. All the same liberals who always, you know, preach about being peaceful and they clutch their pearls at the thought of violent rhetoric. They suddenly got really macho when it came to Orange Man.
Yeah, Nancy was going to punch him in the face if he showed up at the Capitol on January 6th.
Nancy was going to punch him in the face. Joe Biden was going to take him behind the shed. Okay, we had fake duff guys like Donnie Deutsch, Andrew Cuomo. Everybody had leather bomber jackets on, and they were going to show Joe Biden what's up. Okay, well, now we got another one. I got a recent fake tough guy. And again, it comes out when he's talking about who? Donald J. Trump. Now, this is Chuck Schumer talking about Trump, who wanted to negotiate for a wall, which, P.S., would look pretty damn good right about now as our border is being completely overrun. But Schumer still thinks this is something to brag about, that he wouldn't let Donald Trump get a wall. Out of all the times, Jared, to brag about it, when the country is falling apart at the hands of Joe Biden and the Border Patrol has their hands tied behind their backs. They've got hundreds of thousands of people coming in and then being sent to New York City, to Chicago, to L.A. This is the time where fake tough guy Chuck Schumer is going to talk about how he really told Donald Trump who's boss. Take a listen to Cut 11.
When he invited me into the Oval Office to try and force an agreement to build the wall and then maybe Gateway, I had a few choice Brooklyn words for him. No effing way, Mr. President.
Oh, Jared, I just got chills. I would not want to mess with Chuck Schumer with those spectacles so close to the edge of his nose. It would take a very courageous man to go toe-to-toe with Chuck Schumer. I think we can all agree on that. But again, it's like, in hindsight, Chuck, maybe if you weren't so busy telling Trump no bleeping way on the wall, he could have actually built a wall. And it would have helped us right about now. But no.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
I love fake tough guys. It brings me so much joy. Because it's like, I'm a lot of things in life, Jared, but I don't pretend to be tough. And I think anyone who does pretend to be tough, it's a dead giveaway that you're not tough. Because if you're tough, people will say you're tough. You don't need to convince us. Something about...
Oh, tough guy.
So about Chuck Schumer and his glasses being like, and I told him, no bleeping way. All right, nerd. Sure you did. 844-500-4242.
That's just how we do it in the Bronx.
Speaking of people who couldn't stand Donald Trump, did you see the news, Jared? I know you've been following the news on CNN and how their ratings were the worst, I think, in 9 years.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Well, one of CNN Plus's former hosts, Chris Wallace, his show is, it's still on CNN, but now it's on CNN Venture. I don't know what any of this is. It says Chris, he used to be, it was CNN Plus, right, at one point?
There was like a 6 day period where CNN Plus was a thing. Yeah. And he was the flagship show.
You know what I call that 6 day period? I call that the golden age of television. Okay. We should all wish we could have it back. All right. So, former Fox News anchor Chris Wallace's primetime CNN Venture saw its worst ratings month since its launch. In January, CNN, who's talking to Chris Wallace? It should be who's watching Chris Wallace. That should be the question. Averaged just 365,000 viewers. Only 48,000 of them were in the coveted 25 to 54 demographic. On Sunday, the show's last airing of January, it averaged 323,000 viewers. The program began in the spring of 2022 after CNN announced the end of its streaming platform, CNN Plus. The program began in the spring of 2022 after CNN announced. Yeah, it really was a short period of time, though.
I mean, in all sincerity, I don't even think it made it a month before they pulled the plug on it.
CNN, we hardly knew ye. CNN Plus. We really, that's a true statement. It says last month the show was renewed for a second season. And then what the Washington Examiner did, which is kind of cruel and unusual, they decided to put up some Fox numbers next to some CNN numbers. I'm not going to do it here at the Grace Curley Show because it's a bloodbath and I don't. You all know. You know the numbers Fox pulls in, and you can guess the numbers that CNN pulls in. CNN Venture, whatever that is. Now, as we're talking about CNN, we got to talk about the other liberal news media outlet that's really hurting since Donald Trump stopped being president, and that would be MSNBC. Now, MSNBC has a host, Joy Reid, and Joy Reid seems very much tuned into what's going on with Ron DeSantis. And the reason I find this interesting, Jared, is because I think the media is really hoping, fingers crossed, that Donald Trump wins the GOP nomination. I don't think that they want Ron DeSantis to be the nominee because I think they know it's harder to demonize Ron DeSantis, especially with such little time. They've been trying their best. You know, they've been drudging up things from his past. Even so, though, I knew they'd do that because they do that with everybody. The stuff they're coming up with about Ron DeSantis is weak even for the Democrats. It's like, it's not compelling. I'm waiting for that big bombshell. Oh, boy, this is going to ruin him. You know, this is going to be the thing that takes Ron DeSantis down. So far, they have, he would have his girlfriends pronounce, he would pronounce Thai food, thigh food, and if his girlfriends would correct him, he'd break up with them. That was the biggest bombshell they've had so far.
Monster.
But they want to make sure that they keep the left anchors and, you know, these liberal anchors and radical progressives, they want to make sure that they keep DeSantis in your minds and they keep vilifying him just enough in case, Jared, they're forced to pivot in 2024. They have to have some sort of foundation ready to go. So the only thing they can do is talk about Florida. Now, this is tough because a lot of people like Florida. In fact, a lot of people have moved to Florida recently. Ron DeSantis is the governor of Florida. I'll give you one more that makes it tough. People in Florida really love Ron DeSantis. Do you see the map of his reelection? It was covered in red. Places that hadn't been won by a Republican in decades turned red for DeSantis. So take a listen to Joy Reid. This is her hot take on Florida.
It's a right-wing fantasy land, like Disney World, but in hell. Come to Florida, the meanest place on earth.
Now, I have a question for Joy. It's a right-wing fantasy land. Come to Florida, the meanest place on earth. That sounds awful, doesn't it, Jared?
Yeah, that That does not sound like a place I would want to go.
Hell on earth. Do you want to go to hell? Probably not. But this is where I'm confused, and this is where I need your help. How come, if Florida is so bad, how come more New Yorkers, now New York's made up of a lot of liberals, a lot of progressives, a lot of beautiful people, how come more New Yorkers, according to the New York Post, fled to Florida in 2022 than any year in history? Jared, why does everybody want to go to hell on earth? Why does everybody want to go to the worst place ever?
Got to be the drink specials. I don't know.
Oh, the happy hour. You think that's it? It's the weather. It's something, though.
I guess those people are just the Boother dum-dums who had to have inflation explained to them by the GOP brainwashing overlords.
A staggering 64,577 Empire Staters exchanged their driver's licenses for hell on earth last year. They were living in the paradise known as the Empire State, and they traded it all to go to Disney World in hell. Make it make sense. Does Joy explain later in that cut why people are being drawn there? Is this some sort of brainwashing thing? Is this a cult or something?
I don't know. I didn't listen to that much of it.
Really?
It's like 2 minutes. I can't.
Yeah. I will give you this. Everyone's Joy Reid. Your Joy Reid, like, the most you can do is maybe 45 seconds. 2 minutes is way too long. But I just find that amazing that now the left is really trying. And I read some of these headlines when I was on with Howie a few weeks ago. All these headlines that I'm reading now are, yeah, a lot of people are moving to Florida, but here's some things you're not thinking about. And they're trying to put this ominous spin on why you should move to Florida. It's not working. People are still doing it. The proof is in the pudding, is in the pudding, is in the eating, as Joe likes to say. So DeSantis is doing something right in that state. Even if Joy Reid thinks it's hell on earth, a lot of other people think it looks like paradise. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. When it comes to dentistry, he's the best at what he does. He fixes your teeth and your smile, but what he really does is he builds the self-confidence of his patients. I love going to Dr. Houghton in New Hampshire at Perfect Smiles. The whole team there is so amazing. They do such a good job. They're going to take care of you. If you're someone who's a little bit nervous, if going to the dentist or getting work done on your teeth makes you really nervous, I completely understand. Actually, my mom's like that. It gets her really freaked out. But you can rest assured that this is the place to go if you want the most gentle, caring dentist and artist in the business. Dr. Houghton, Stephanie, the entire team at Perfect Smiles is going to make you feel comfortable. They're going to figure out what you need and the best way to go about getting it. The better you look, the better you feel. That helps every aspect of your life. So every interaction you have is going to be better because you're proud of your smile. You have that confidence. If you've thought about Perfect Smiles in the past and you said, I'm going to wait, I'm going to put it off, I'll call next week, I'll call next month, you know, take the first step towards a renewed sense of self-confidence, towards a new smile. Visit Dr. Houghton. Take care of yourself. Call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. They're located off of Route 3. They've got plenty of parking, and they cannot wait to meet you. You can reach them at PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. Okay, when we come back, I told you we got Jess Machado at 2:30. We also have some breaking sports news. Yes, Tom Brady's retiring. This is not the news we're going to talk about. Marty Walsh could potentially be up for a new job. Jared is going to fill us in his Sports Go Sports segment. You do not want to miss
Secretary Walsh,
this.
Marty.
Secretary Walsh is at it again. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Call on Grace Curley for family-friendly entertainment.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
Yes!
I knew you'd come. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton and his entire wonderful team in Nashua. I really, really love everybody there. They take such good care of you. And when you go visit them, please tell them I said hi, because going to Perfect Smiles is always one of my favorite things, which I never thought I would say that I enjoy going to the dentist, but it is true. So call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit PerfectSmiles.com. Jared Diglio, my producer, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which GOP probe are you most looking forward to? The January 6th probe, the COVID fraud probe, the Hunter / Joe probe, or the border probe?
I'm going to say the January 6th probe, because what I found amazing about that was when they were making these committees, you had Jim Jordan and Jim Banks who wanted to be on the January 6th committee. And Pelosi said no. And that was pretty unprecedented. Now we call it the Pelosi precedent, where you get to decide based off who you like, who gets to be on committees. And so she said no. And the reason she said no is because she probably thought that Jim Jordan, who's a very smart man, and Jim Banks, who just got the endorsement from Donald J. Trump in his Senate run, she probably thought that they were going to ask some really basic but insightful questions about what happened on that day that has been billed as the worst day since the Civil War. And so she said, no, they can't be on there. Now, the reason I think it'd be interesting to hear now is because we have the control of the House, and I think Republicans could bring up these questions again just for fun and see if we can get any answers out of Nancy and the rest of the squad in the Democrat House. So I'm going to vote for J6.
J6 is at 16%, 14% for the border probe, 22% for the COVID fraud probe, and 48% for the Hunter / Joe probe. And today is every other day. If you want to vote in the poll question, you go to gracecurlyshow.com and you'll see the poll question right there.
You know, ever since I read those stories about Hunter Biden's assistant, who he was texting for FaceTime sex if she wanted to be paid, I do think the Hunter probe could be interesting. You know, I think if we were going to look at these as like which one do you think you're going to get the most dirt out of, it would probably be the Hunter probe, because that guy, it just never ends with him. Jared, I do want to do a quick sports go sports here, because we got some breaking news out of Massachusetts. Let's do it.
Sports go sports. Athletics are number one. Go team, yeah.
All right, so we told you guys that Tom Brady's retiring again. And he put out a video. He's sad to leave, but he's happy, no regrets. And we also told you Ozzy Osbourne is retiring. I don't think he has any Massachusetts roots, but still, I'm sure he's got a lot of fans here. Now, the latest sports news, though, Jared, that just came down the pike. Tell us what we got.
Yes, this is from Darren Drager from TSN, which is the Canadian ESPN, basically. Interesting development in the NHLPA exec director search. That's the National Hockey League Players Association. Sources say Marty Walsh, current U.S. Secretary of Labor, is believed to be the top candidate. The NHLPA board will meet tomorrow to further discuss, and a vote is required by the board to complete the process.
So tell me now, we got Marty Walsh, who's a contender in this position for the NHL, and then we have Baker, who's going on to be what?
He's the president of the NCAA, so right. He will oversee the entire organization of college basketball, and Marty Walsh would oversee the Players Association, which is the NHL Players Union. I mean, he's a union guy, so he would be overseeing the union there.
Another tough guy. Potentially a real tough guy when you're dealing with a union guy.
I didn't know the NHL players needed to harass celebrity chefs that badly, but apparently they do.
For those of you who don't know what Jared's talking about, do a quick Google search on that. Jared, you know what I find weird about both of those situations with Baker and Walsh? Is typically these kind
abject
of
failure getting a lot of money.
Well, you know, failing up is kind of the way of the world now. But these two white men from Massachusetts getting these top positions that are usually reserved for more diverse candidates.
That's true. Although, I don't know. I know Baker was a baller, but did Marty ever play hockey? I never heard him talk about it.
Well, not everybody who plays sports has to talk about it. Just most people. 844-500-4242. When we come back, Jess Machado is going to tell us all about what happened last night with the Mass GOP. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We have tons to get to in this last segment, and we are thrilled to be joined by Jess Machado. You guys know her. She filled in for me, and she did an incredible job. Jess, the reviews are in, and people love you.
Oh, Grace, thank you so much. So much.
Well, we're excited to have you on. And of course, you were here to tell us about the results from the Mass Republican State Committee's election last night. We've obviously informed the listeners that Amy Carnevale beat out Jim Lyons 37-34. But you were there, Jess. So give us a rundown. What was the atmosphere like? Did you guys think it was going to go to a second vote? Give us all the dirty deets.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a really exciting environment. I didn't think that we were going to be allowed in the room. I thought the buzz prior to the meeting was that it was going to be closed, but I was very pleased to see that when we got there, they had chairs set up for members of the public and the press, so we were able to be right in the room and watch everything go down. Surprisingly, I felt that everything just went very well organized, no mishaps, no, you know, last-minute tricks or anything like that. I think people thought that maybe there would be some last-minute, you know, attempts to stop the vote or postpone things or something could have come up. But honestly, it went on without a hitch. And I think that that was great. It was great for the public and the press to see the process and everybody working together to get a vote in and counted. And so I thought while everybody, I think, seemed to be a little tense, that I think everybody was just kind of ready to move on in either direction.
Now, Jess, I'm glad you brought up the tension because this has seemed to become very personal for the Mass GOP. A lot of personal attacks, a lot of mudslinging, and some people are saying, and I was reading today in Mass Playbook from Politico, that this reflects the deep divisions that Amy Carnevale will have to navigate. Do you think that there's hope, considering it was such a close race, that the party does come together and does kind of move on from this, or do you think there's still a lot of work to be done?
You know, I actually thought that the endorsement Amy received from Sheriff Tom Hodgson from here in Bristol County was really important because I worked on the Trump campaign with the sheriff, and he was able to harness both sides of the Republican Party to work towards the goal of getting President Trump elected. And he was able to kind of bring those people together for a common goal towards work, getting things done, checking, you know, tasks off the list. And I thought that his endorsement of Amy was very telling about the kind of leader that she will be. I think that she has the same style. She's going to be able to bring people together. She's more focused on the work that needs to be done and less about the drama. And I think that that is a very positive, uplifting, you know, perspective for the party for sure.
I'm speaking with Jess Machado from WBSM. She's also a fill-in here at the Grace Curley Show. We're very lucky to have her. And Jess, as we talk about going forward, and not just for the Mass GOP, but I'm curious, going into these new elections, people are very tired of losing. I think this race is very indicative of that. What do you think has to be like the top three priorities for Republicans right now? I'll say Republicans in Massachusetts, because this is really your area of expertise. What do we need to focus on going forward?
Well, I think the first thing that you just said about winning, this was nice to win one, right? And we didn't have any wins in this past election cycle. To be on the side of something, for me especially, for a win, I think was very motivational. So top three things. I would definitely say we need to harness mail-in voting and really understand. I think the Dems have figured that out, and they've been able to leverage it. So we need to do that. I definitely think appealing to the independents and the unenrolled. Obviously, there's more of them than Democrats and Republicans in the state combined. And so they're there for us. We just need to brand ourselves and make ourselves appealing to them. And then obviously finding candidates, getting them the support they need, getting them the money they need, and being able to run candidates in almost every community, have a bench so that, you know, when we're looking for those, like, top-of-the-ballot ticket people, we have them already down in the bottom, you know, having already served on school committee or city council, state rep, and just get these candidates the support they need. A lot of them didn't have it this past election cycle or the one before that. So if I could pick, I would say those are the top three.
Yeah, I think that's very informative for a lot of people out there. Jess, I have another question for you, kind of going back to last night. Like we said, tensions were very high. There was a lot of, you know, personal beef back and forth. And when Jim Lyons lost, what was the atmosphere like? What were his supporters like? Did you get the sense that people were going to throw their support behind Amy, even if they didn't, you know, necessarily want her to win from the beginning? Or do you think that it's still going to be kind of the Lyons voters versus everybody else?
You know, obviously we moved some people over, right? Because some of these people traditionally, for example, Caroline Calaruso, who was a guest on your show that I filled in for, you know, she gave the nomination speech for Amy, and she indicated to me that there had been people texting her in the meeting that were very surprised and disappointed that she chose to support Amy after having been a big Jim supporter. But I'm hoping she kind of set the path for people who want to move over towards progress. And she, you know, she said it was hard to do, but she said it was the right thing. And I think her leadership is going to move some people over. So, you know, listen, the people who supported Amy were extremely thrilled and happy. I think everybody is exhausted with the in-party fighting. And I can tell you from personal experience, just hearing these lawsuits that Jim had planned, it was a bleak future for us if he were to stay in. And I think that everybody is relieved that we know it at the very least some of these lawsuits can't move forward and we can spend our time and resources on candidates and the other things I talked about. So I think people want to do that. Do I think that there are people that are going to be stubborn and dig their heels in and kind of be an issue? Sure. I don't think we can get everybody, but I'm hopeful Amy's the right person to lead.
I'm speaking with Jess Machado from WBSM. You've heard her before on my show. And just kind of looking nationally here, you focus a lot on Massachusetts. But of course, some of what we're dealing with in this state is because of the current leadership and because of Joe Biden. Right now, he's obviously dealing with the document debacle. We also have his issues with the border. What do you think nationally are some of the biggest issues that are hitting home here for people living in Massachusetts, whether they know it or not?
I'm honestly the worst person for this because I think I'm so hyper-focused on what's going on in the state right now with state politics. I can tell you that parents are concerned about what's going on in their schools. I think they're concerned about, you know, the access children have to literature that doesn't necessarily, you know, feel age-appropriate. I think people are caring about how much things are costing them every day. And, you know, those things matter to people. So I have to work on my national issues and paying a little bit more attention. I'm actually hopeful now that we get some leadership moving forward. I can spend more time on national issues. But I think it's so important we have a great leader for the GOP moving forward, especially going into 2024.
Absolutely. I agree. So the energy was good last night, Jess. You're feeling good. You're ready for this fresh new start. And tell us how Amy's feeling. I mean, it seemed like based off, I was following your tweets, it seemed like based off the picture, she was very excited. Is she looking forward to tackling? She's going to have a lot on her plate to tackle a lot of issues here.
Yeah, I think she's so capable. As a mom, I can tell you one of the things I loved is that she said her husband is somewhat of a stay-at-home dad. And so he can kind of take care of all of the responsibilities at home with their children. And it really gives her the flexibility and time to commit to this job. So I loved hearing that she has that balance and she has the support that she needs to give everything to this. She's very excited. She seemed ready to hit the ground running. She was talking about, you know, her plan to start understanding how much money we actually owe out there. You know, obviously those things came up during this election about these outstanding invoices and bills. So she's interested in getting that number finalized and getting things paid. She talked about bringing an executive on board to run everything and then bringing some team players in, hiring a staff. And I think those things are huge. She's very motivated and she sounded very excited last night. She was, anxious at the start of the meeting for sure, but by the end she was all smiles.
That's awesome. Jess Machado, thank you so much for coming on. And can you tell people where they can follow you on Twitter? Because I know you're going to be filling in for me a lot in the future. People want to keep up with you. You're a very, very busy woman. I know just in the next couple of days, you're doing several different radio gigs. So please tell people where they can follow you and keep up with your busy schedule.
Yeah, I am on Twitter at Mrs. Bunny Machado. And I am obviously on WBSM 1420 out of Fairhaven in New Bedford. My show is every Saturday from 1 to 4. But Twitter is the best place to keep up to date on everything that's going on.
Thank you very much, Jess. We appreciate it. And when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about this with Howie Carr. We're also going to be discussing some news about the pandemic fraud that occurred. Every day you can read a different headline about the COVID fraud. And now Republicans, finally, since they have control of the House, they're going to start looking into this and figuring out what can be done about it. Now, this comes at the same time that Joe Biden has finally put an end date on the COVID pandemic. I don't think this is the first time, though, we've had an end date from him. It seems like anytime Joe gives you a date, it's probably going to be pushed back even further. Just keep moving the goalpost down the road. But now he's trying to beat Republicans to the punch. They voted today in the House to end the COVID pandemic. Just because we're going to end the emergency does not mean that this fraud is anywhere close to being over. 844-500-4242. We will be right back with the captain. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Says, these politicians see the writing on the wall. Get out of politics and into sports, just moving from one part of the system to another. That's in reaction to the news we just talked about. And actually, someone who I want to hear from on this is Howie Carr. Howie, Marty Walsh, Walsh Marty, Secretary Marty, Secretary Walsh.
Secretary Walsh, Marty.
Whatever you want to call him. He's the top candidate for the NHLPA Executive Director. There seems to be a trend here with these Massachusetts politicians.
Well, they have something else in common, too, along with Scott Brown. They all got their start in politics by defeating Marsha Coakley. She was like she was like the Democrat female version of Jeff Deal. You know, if you want to have an easy punching bag when you start running for office, run against Marsha Coakley or now Jeff Deal.
But don't you think it's interesting that Marty Walsh and Charlie Baker? I mean, they're not very diverse candidates. Older white men. Seems strange they're getting these plum jobs.
You know, most people who play hockey will tell you. I mean, it's not like going to Harvard where you find out in the first 10 seconds of meeting somebody. But eventually you tend to find out if someone was a hockey player, right? And I've never heard Marty Walsh talk about hockey.
That's what we were thinking. Most times with anyone who plays, at least in college, you're going to find out. It's the same with people who run the marathon. You know, you're going to hear about it.
Yeah, I mean, he graduated high school and then he went to BC Knights. So I don't think he would have been a hockey player at BC, but I don't think he was maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but I don't ever remember him talking about it.
Hey, well, you know, maybe you don't need to be one to be part of the organization. Howie, something else I wanted to talk to you about here is your latest column, The Panic is Over, Not the Payout. So there's this whole talk that the pandemic, the emergency is going to end, according to Joe Biden. We heard yesterday was May 11th. He told reporters it was May 15th. So maybe it's somewhere in between. Maybe it's May 13th or somewhere like that. But even though the pandemic might be ending, this fraud, these COVID scams, I mean, there's not going to be enough time for Congress to really wrap their heads around this.
No, I think, you know, if they wanted to have real hearings into what's been going on, I mean, they would need to schedule about like 10 years of hearings, just, you know, every day for 10 years. It's just amazing. They just get reported randomly. But if, again, as I said in the column, if you go to any U.S. attorney's website in the country, you can find story after story after story just across all walks of life, and you have all these scam welfare COVID relief funds that I just found that one. What's it called? Provider Relief Fund, PRF. And that was the one that the accountant for the dentist was taken out of.
Yes.
I'd never heard of that until 2 days ago.
He stole $52,000 as part of a larger $1.2 million embezzlement.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of these people that are stealing the money, it's like the guy I knew from WXDK on the Cape. He was the first guy that was arrested in the country. I was kind of proud of that I knew the first guy who was arrested. But he had already done time for like bank fraud and skimming people and girlfriend abuse and all this kind of stuff. And he was just out on parole, and he immediately gets into this thing and steals $500,000. And he was the first of probably a million scammers that have taken advantage of this.
If you're a scammer and you didn't get in on this, Howie, it's kind of like the enemies list. You know what I mean? What you're doing something wrong, because this is the scam. Everybody's getting in. I actually just want to read here, because I was reading your column, and like you said, it's people from all walks of life. I just kind of circled some of the different jobs. It says mayor, rapper, mail carriers, fugitives. This really was something that everyone and anyone could get their hands on.
They had a court clerk's office in Chicago, and there were 40 of them that filed for it. And there were so many of them, they would have just wiped out the entire clerk's office. And so they just said, we just want to get the people who organized this. So I guess the people who just got $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, they all got away with it. And I didn't even have room. I have this thick stack. I print them out when they come out. There were these father and son minister teams that they bought this mansion near Disney World for $4 million, and then the feds were closing in on them. They fled to Canada. There's all kinds of weird stories about this. There was at least a couple of NFL former NFL football players. There was a state rep from Connecticut. It's just amazing how many but the key word was forgivable. You know, so the loans were forgivable. So it wasn't like a loan, it was free money. You know, it's like the earned income tax credit. You didn't earn it, and it's not a credit because you didn't pay any taxes. It's just more welfare. And everybody was grabbing for it.
You just mentioned the father and son duo. Were those the people, Howie, that when they were on the lam, the cops pulled them over and they had bags full of shredded material in the back of the car?
I'm not sure, Grace. They're all kind of running together now.
Because when you've got the plastic bags full of the shredded paper, that's a dead giveaway. You know, that's like case closed. Yeah, but Howie's right. There's so much of this going on. And there's also a lot of probes going on right now, Howie, with the GOP. I know this is one of them. We also have the probe into, and it's a multi-part immigration probe. They're starting off today with the human stories about people who have been impacted by this border crisis, including a stepfather of a 15-year-old boy who died from fentanyl and a county sheriff from southeastern Arizona. I do think it's important, Howie, that people hear this information. Even if nothing changes, it's just to get it out there so people know what's going on.
Sounds like angel moms, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I have a story in front of me. Iranian illegal alien caught at border, not on terror watch list after further vetting. He just happened to have the same last name and first name as the guy on the terror watch list. But that's quite a relief to everybody concerned. He just wants to come here and be a criminal and go on welfare.
Howie's got a great show planned for you. Obviously, he's going to get into the Republican State Committee election last night and more of this pandemic fraud. Don't go anywhere.